Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's hour number 3 along with Mitch Gallo. The Seanster has rejoined us. Sean Campbell, Tony Marinaro's in the neighborhood as well until 7 o'clock, and then live coverage all night of the NHL 2016 draft in Buffalo. Good afternoon, Pierre. Great to see you.
Mitch, great to see you. Mitch Gallo, good to see you. Sean Campbell, good to see you. Look at Buffalo, New York. It's ready for the draft.
Inside here, it looks great. What would you like us to know about Buffalo that we are not getting visually from being where we are?
It's a city on the rebound. The Pegulas have done a really good job trying to build up downtown Buffalo. They really have. If you would have been here 5 years ago, you would have not been impressed. It's changed a lot. They deserve a lot of credit.
All right, let's get right to this.
What do you want to do?
It's PK Subban.
Oh, my gosh.
until, as we said off the top of the show, Pierre, and again, we apologize for being redundant, but it's a fact of life. Unless and until this ends one way or another, either before or on July 1st, this is a developing story.
No question. You're absolutely right. I was out with an NHL team last night, their front office and their coaching staff, in a restaurant a little off the beaten track, and we were just talking about different things around the league. And the biggest thing that ever came up the entire dinner, and it kept going back, was PK Subban. Everybody had a different opinion. What's he worth? Why are they trying to trade him? You know, what are the holes in his game that you would, if you were a scout, you would perceive? It was bizarre. And I said, I don't know why they'd be in a rush to trade him. I understand about July 1st and the no move and all that stuff. I get all that. How many players are like him in the league? How many puck transporters are like him in the league?
I mean, you could argue and be conservative and say he's one of, what, a dozen? I think he's even better than that.
He's in the top five for transporters.
That's where I would go. I would go
so,
there.
Those guys don't fall off trees.
So do you see a scenario where they can make a significant deal and upgrade a couple of other areas and at the same time replace him or come close to replacing him?
The only team you could do it with is Edmonton. You can't forget Vancouver.
Oh, that's
ridiculous. I mean, I say this with respect. I understand they're in a rebuild there. They don't have the players to fit Montreal's bill.
Well, why don't you go by the Vancouver table
did.
And tell them?
I did.
They were all over me last night when I said there's
no
way. I
did it on the radio station this afternoon.
Okay.
I said,
so now they believe it. From you, they'll believe it.
I said, you don't have the right fit. You're not getting that player. But Edmonton has the right guys. Edmonton could do the deal if that's what you want to do.
But then where is the defenseman coming from to replace PK?
Well, you'll have to do some shopping free agency-wise.
Brian Campbell.
Brian Campbell.
No, Pierre.
Well,
come on.
I'm just telling you, like, if you're in such a rush to move him, I'm not. I'm just telling you. There's not a lot of fits.
What about the potential fit with Colorado?
Oh, you're talking about with Tyson Barrie?
And Matt Duchene.
Yeah, Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog. I heard that deal proposed.
Colorado last night apparently said we're not in this.
I would be shocked if Gabriel Landeskog was part of any package. And if I'm doing a deal with Colorado, Gabriel Landeskog's got to be in the package.
There you go. So that's the kind of conversations that are going on. Yeah. Mark Bergevin, and I know there are some people who would like Bergevin to say he's not going anywhere. But if somebody is prepared to overpay, and as long as they get a defenseman of a high quality to replace PK Subban, then he's not really doing his job properly.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm glad that he's created an auction environment for this player, because the last two times that the team has made significant errors, one was trading Jaro Halak for Lars Eller and Ian Schultz. I told you at the time, bad deal. They never even offered it to Philadelphia. Silly. The other one, Ryan McDonagh. Silly. Silly. Can't do that stuff. So if they do it a third time, now, to be fair, different management groups, but if they do that with this management group, you're creating a total rebuild if you mess up this player trading him away. Can't mess it up.
So when he's standing there in front of the pack scrum at the Hyatt Regency between 6 and 7 last night, and he's kind of, you know, I thought he handled himself pretty well considering the circumstance, but when he's saying, I don't know why this is all, you know, about PK, he knows full well why this is going down.
So somebody, I would say this, I'd venture this, because we all know the market pretty well. Somebody in that dressing room or somebody in that front office is leaking stuff to the media. Mm-hmm. Somebody is. They're not making this stuff up because it's all over the league and it's coming out of Montreal. So they got to find out either, one, why this is happening, or two, is this part of their plan to mass market Piqué? Because somebody's putting information out from the team, whether it's a player or a management person, I don't know. Do you agree?
So this is like the equivalent of a political trial balloon.
Yeah.
And they're gauging reaction to the possibility of Piqué being traded.
Right.
And right now they're being hammered for it big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? How is all this information getting out to the same reporters? They're the only guys that have sources?
Yeah, we'll talk to Pierre LeBrun in the next 40 minutes or so. But it kind of all started with his report, right? And you said at the time on the air before we left for Buffalo that this sounds like this is being done.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been through this before. I know how it works.
Let's say they didn't like some of the things that happened with Piqué inside the locker room last year. Mm-hmm. Would this be a good way of also scaring him if they don't have intentions of actually trading him?
The only time I've seen a scare work, believe it or not, was with Tyler Seguin. They warned him twice. Clean it up. Clean it up. He didn't. He got traded to Dallas, and he thrived. But it scared him. I can tell you. I did interviews with him. He told me. There was one other one, now that I think about it, but it happened a long time ago. Detroit told Steve Yzerman he better get going, and Steve Yzerman.
Scotty, right?
Yeah.
Because people think of the people can't grasp that now. Younger.
He was.
Generation
I was in
of
Ottawa.
Fans.
I'm just telling you. I know because we were getting on a private plane to go pick Yzerman up. We were trading Evgeny Malkin, or not Evgeny Malkin. Excuse me, Alexei Yashin, to Detroit for Steve Yzerman. I am telling you. And part of our management team was Brad Marsh, who was a teammate of Steve Yzerman's.
And the Canadians, Reggie Houle, was trying very hard to get Steve Yzerman, and I said, he's not available? And he said, yes, he is.
He was, and there were huge stories in the Detroit papers. Go back in that era, like the 94, 93, 94, 95, right in that vintage, right after they lost to San Jose on the Jamie Baker overtime goal in Game 7. I'm telling you, it was mayhem.
So if Piqué moves or not, is Cam Fowler in play?
Oh, Cam Fowler's going somewhere.
With the Vatanen signing.
Cam Fowler, I've heard it from too many guys. There's too many people aware. Cam Fowler, Kevin Shattenkirk, those guys are hot to trot. And Goligoski kind of opened it up. The other thing, though, that's ticked a lot of people off is the Keith Yandle contract. And if you're for Tampa, for instance,
you got
Victor Hedman in a year. Victor Hedman is going to be a Norris Trophy nominee and maybe a Norris Trophy winner. You think Keith Yandle will ever get that? No chance.
Does Montreal have anything Anaheim wants?
I would say probably not.
What about the pick?
I wouldn't trade the pick.
You wouldn't trade for the pick if you were Anaheim?
If I were Montreal,
you wouldn't trade the pick for Cam Fowler?
No, I want the pick.
Okay, we'll get to the pick in a second. But and again, keep in mind, Anaheim needs to win now. They're coming off a very disappointing...
Can I just tell you one thing? They're as loaded up in terms of depth defensemen of any team in the league, in terms of prospects. Anaheim has got a plethora of young prospects coming on defense. Tons of them. Shea Theodore being one of them. Guys from Finland, guys from Sweden. They have tons of guys. They're so stacked in defense. That's why Fowler's available.
Gallo's mantra since we left, trade the pick, trade the pick, trade the pick, because you want to win now. You're saying
Here's my question to Mitch Gallo, and I say this looking you right in the eye. Who are their prospects? Who are the Canadians' top prospects?
Michael McCarron.
Okay.
It's up in the air about.
But you follow what I'm saying.
Yes. Nikita Sherbak, first-year pro last year, was not that great. Charles Hudon.
Noah Juulsen.
They're on the blue line, a lot of them.
Yeah, but that's, so we're talking about trying to win the cup.
Right. But not now with Carey Price at 28.
Yeah, I still want the pick because you never know what you can get. If they could,
or you flip picks.
Well, if I could least. See what I would. I think I said this yesterday to Connor. I really want the kid from the Quebec Major Junior League. I want Dubois. I want Dubois.
But that's a major. I mean, is Dubois? Can you drop Dubois into the Canadiens lineup as soon as this season and try and win with him?
Yeah.
Well, really, is that good?
I think he is better than the point.
This is from the Don't Rush the Junior players, right?
This guy's really good because he's built. He's big. He's a big guy, and he can skate.
Can play everywhere.
Dominates the game. Dominates the puck. Offensive point producer. Can play center wing.
But you can't trade up, can you? to get that pick without trading PK Subban?
If you're doing the Subban deal, you can get the four. You can't get the three. You can get the four.
And you can't get a D like Subban.
No, that's the problem. But that's the conundrum. But I'm just saying, there's a bunch of – I was talking to a GM from the West not long ago, just before I came here. And he says, we're not trading our pick. I'm just looking at the board. He is picking at – hold on. He's picking at right between 6 and 10. That's all I'll say. He's picking between 6 and 10. And he says, we have more than enough players that fit our profile. And their team's very similar to Montreal's, between 6 and 10. I'm just telling you what he told me.
Another defenseman apparently in play, and it's hard to believe. I just saw his age, and I went, what? He's only 25, and that's Kulikov in Florida. He's been around for a while.
Kulikov's available. I think part of that is because of Yandle. Part of that is because of Ian McCaution coming out. Ian McCaution's a big defenseman out of Boston College. Part of that is Michael Matheson coming out last year and playing as well as he did and having a great world championship for Canada. Aaron Ekblad. I mean, they're good. They're good there, and I think they don't want to have to pay him going down the road.
So Kulikov and Fowler, compare those two guys.
Kulikov's got a harder shot. He can really bring the heat. He played in Drummondville. Fowler played in Windsor. Fowler likes to jump in. Kulikov's more of a stabilizing player, but he will jump in. Fowler's a little bit more like Matthew Schneider for Canadiens fans. Kulikov is... He can shoot it. He can bring the heat pretty good, and he's pretty reliable. Played in a World Junior in Ottawa in 2009. He is good there. He's a good player. He's a solid player. He was drafted by Randy Sexton, who now scouts for Pittsburgh.
It's just interesting because Gudbranson and Kulikov were two of their guys in their top four.
Made a mistake on Gudbranson. I'm just telling you straight up, they did, Sean. Jared McCann's a nice player. But I don't know why they were in a rush to trade Eric Gudbranson. This guy's probably going to be the captain of Vancouver.
How about Minnesota? First of all, the Vanek situation is, you know, that old saying, and I thought it was Mark Twain because every major quote is Mark Twain. It was actually Thomas Wolfe who said, you can't go home again.
Right.
In Vanek's case, it certainly didn't work out. You said all along when he was playing with the Canadiens and doing well at the time that he's gone home to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So now that he is being bought out, do you see the Islanders because of the chemistry that he had with Tavares, or is that risky dropping a guy like him and his recent past into that kind of mix?
What a good question. I think part of that is because Oposo's not there. There's definitely a void for scoring there. I don't think they want to rush Michael Del Col, but I don't know. I mean, I talked to Jack Capuano. We actually flew up here from New York yesterday together. They know they have to put a winger on Tavares's, you know, line that can score. I just don't see. I don't know if it ended that well for him on Long Island, and now obviously in Brooklyn.
A team similar to the Canadiens in that this never-ending search for juice up front and specifically down the middle, and that's Minnesota. In addition, you know, it didn't work out with Vanek, but they got young defensemen that apparently are being dangled.
Well, one is Matthew Dumba, the other one is Jonas Brodin. I don't know, for whatever reason, and I do a lot of Minnesota games, they don't like Jonas Brodin. I don't know why. All he does is play. He never makes mistakes. He just gets in the way. He's not a hard-edged physical player.
Did they expect him to be a point producer? Probably,
Karen. Probably, Tony. But yeah. Again, I mean, some guys just are safe defenders. He's just a safe defender, but he's not going to get a ton of points. But
they were so high on him in year one with Ryan Suter. And
he probably should have won Rookie of the Year. That was the year Huberto won.
Yeah.
Like nobody really saw him play, but he was the best young player in the league. I mean, he was really good. I don't know what happened. I really don't. But it's really strange to be there. Dumba's a different kind of a player. He's a riverboat gambler. He's a high-risk offensive defenseman.
What's St. Louis looking for Shattenkirk?
Probably bodies up front. They have to because I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Brouwer and Backes. And if they lose both those guys, that's a big problem. The other thing I can tell you is Brian Elliott, don't be surprised if Brian Elliott's moved. Do not be surprised. They like Jake Allen a lot, and they think they're going to be able to get assets for Brian Elliott that maybe overcomes the loss of Backes and Brouwer.
Pierre, is it safe to assume that a lot of goalies are going to be moved today because in a year from now we have expansion, you can only protect one?
They're trying, Tony. I mean, it's, you know, Fleury's in a different situation. Bishop, the asking price is high. Elliott, for what you're talking about, and they also need the assets because if they can't get Brouwer and Backes back, they got a problem.
best case scenario, who is the goaltender for the Calgary Flames of those guys?
Right now, because of the price point, I would say probably Brian Elliott if they can make a deal. But
I don't know
that for sure. I'm just telling you what I think.
How about Jonathan Bernier?
I don't think he's a starter. I don't think they're going to go down that road. I mean, I like Bernier a lot. I just maybe he's a depth guy.
Does it surprise you that Bob McKenzie said to Connor this morning that beefing up the blue line remains a priority for Mark Bergevin?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. Because they have to play a certain style that I don't think is very appealing to their fans to insulate their defense, and I think they need to be more wide open. Pittsburgh tried that last year, the passive-aggressive stuff. It didn't work. They turned their guys loose, and it worked.
Pierre, it's kind of mind-boggling that the team with the best goalie in hockey feels like they have to insulate their defense more than every other team and dedicate as much money tied in cap to their defense more than any other team. But they got the best goalie in hockey.
They didn't have him last year, but your point is well taken, and I agree with you.
So do you have, because of who you are and what you do, do you have a sense, like Tony said 100% today during the Friday scrum, that Mark Bergeron makes some kind of deal today?
Yes, I said that, but I just want to add, I got some more information.
Okay.
As it stands right now, and I have a real good source on this one, I've been told that the Montreal Canadiens pick with the 9th pick. If they better their pick, they better their pick. But as it stands right now, if the draft were to start right now, they're not trading their pick for a player to help them right away.
That's what I said. I'm telling you, they're not trading that pick unless it's involving a gigantor deal. No, there will be a good player at 9. There will be a good player there. You'll see. There'll be a good one. Now, I don't know what direction they're
going. So Logan Brown had
he's a big center iceman.
Two different seasons.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I'm not saying he's Joel Colburn because I think he's going to be better. That's what you're big gang.
Well, if he's being compared to Joe Colburn,
no,
I don't take him at. I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying that he's a big gangly kid that takes some time.
And how about as Mark Edwards of the HockeyProspect.com Black Book? They've got Keller at 9.
Oh, if you can get Keller, get Keller. He's a perfect Montreal Canadian. He's fast. He's fearless. He's skilled.
He's 5'7".
No, he's not. He's 5'10".
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. He's not 5'7". He's got character all over the place. Well coached right out of St. Louis. Oh, my God. Going to BU. Get him.
How about Tyson Jost, Pierre?
I love him. I know his agent really well. J.P. Barry. Comes from an amazing story. Single mother. She raised him unbelievably well. He's going to North Dakota. Great kid. Great player. Needs to go to school. Not ready to play prime time. But will be soon. I'm not saying he's Jonathan Toews.
No.
But he loves Toews, and he plays a lot like
Should
Toews.
We be concerned that he's putting up points in the BCHL?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll give you an example. I remember the draft like it was yesterday. I believe it was Travis Zajac and Chris Chucko. Both of them played for Salmon Arm in the BCHL. One guy, Zajac, dominated and went to North Dakota. The other guy, Chucko, went to Minnesota, didn't dominate as well. Calgary got Chucko. Jersey got Zajac. One guy made it, one guy didn't. But I wouldn't be worried about this guy at all.
I knew there was a 7 involving Clayton Keller. He weighs 170. Yeah. So my mistake.
Yeah,
he's not 5'7".
Yeah, he's 5'10".
Okay,
I can tell you right now, I've seen him play a lot. That guy would excite the fans. I want players that are going to come in there and stimulate the fans.
Like PK.
Yeah.
You had one more?
Yeah, we just went forward in terms of possible picks when we mentioned not too long ago that the Canadians want to add on the blue line.
Well,
so who do you like on the blue
line? I'll tell you right now, if Ulevi's there, I'm taking him. If Karkner's there, I wouldn't be afraid to take him. Those are the two I wouldn't be afraid to take, defense. I'll tell you, the one thing about Ulevi, I don't know if you guys can see our feed tonight, I built a pack on him. Showing how smart he is, how intense he is, how skillful he is in his peripheral vision, he's good.
I spoke with a bunch of scouts here. They tell me he's the smartest player in the draft.
This guy's really good. I'm just telling you, if you could see the tape that we put together on him, this guy's really good.
And he's modern-day kind of player, right? Really smart, good IQ.
He's got some jam. He's not afraid to talk. He's kind of a neat kid. I don't mind that.
Good first pass, good power play guy.
No, he's good. I don't know if he's going to get that deep, though.
Is there anything else percolating other than a Subban issue? Is there anybody overall around the league that we're not paying attention to?
You got
to
pay attention to Columbus and Edmonton, 3 and 4 in play. I don't know about Winnipeg. I'm not as plugged in there. I've heard rumors. I heard Buffalo very aggressive with some established players.
Right before the Habs.
Why doesn't Edmonton just take Ylevi with number four?
That might be early.
But if he's going to be a number one defenseman, the National Hockey
League. I don't know if he's a one. I think he's a two. Ones are hard.
That's why they're talking to the Habs.
I'm just telling you, ones are hard to get. They're hard.
You mentioned Winnipeg, and Bob McKenzie was saying this morning that Laine is not a slam dunk.
That's what I'm saying.
Why?
I don't know. It makes a lot of sense, too, because he's a lot like Timo Salani, who had so many good years, obviously, in Winnipeg. I don't know.
Like, I see Scheifele, and I saw what Laine did at the World Championship. I'm like, this is a match made in heaven.
Well, if Liney's not a slam dunk, then Mark Bergeron's got to pick up the phone. He's got to call Kevin Cheveldayoff, who he has a relationship with.
He's a slam dunk. He's going to be an NHL player next year.
No, but if he's not a slam dunk.
Oh, in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
I don't know.
Where's the other match? It's one thing to be interested in that pick. It's another thing, like...
Well, Edmonton and Montreal makes the most sense.
Yeah, seems to be...
Watch Tampa. Tampa's going to be interesting because of the Stamkos stuff, the Bishop stuff. They've got some stuff they got to deal with in terms of contracts and cap-related issues. It's going to be interesting.
We've seen this before. How about the team that's hosting the NHL draft want to make a splash?
Well, I think they're going to make a big splash, and he's a riverboat gambler. He's not afraid to do stuff. Tim Murray, he's not afraid at all. He was very quiet yesterday when I saw him. Usually he's more talkative. He was not yesterday. So I bet you his wheels are turning. They've got a lot of artillery. Somebody told me that they're not afraid to trade away established players on their roster. Two of the names that I heard were Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian.
And they brought Evander Kane here, right, to hype up the draft.
Yep. But those are the two names that I've heard that are out there. Now, I think Buffalo, if they do the right stuff, they'll be a playoff team next year.
Well, that's good news for the Canadiens.
It's bad news for a lot of teams.
The Canadiens, assuming good health.
Ottawa's going to get better with their coaching staff.
Stamkos
is going to sign somewhere in the division.
Toronto's going to be better.
What happens if Stamkos comes to Buffalo?
Then they're a playoff team for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
No doubt. They could be a deep playoff team. Thanks, Pierre. Thanks as always.
Oh, my gosh. Great to see everybody.
Yes. Cheers. Yeah, you got the whole team here.
I know. Good to see everybody. Sean, good to see you, big man. All right, boys. Have a good one.
Have a good one, too, at NBC Sports. On Melnick in the Afternoon, live from the draft in downtown Buffalo, we continue until 7 o'clock. More people are sitting down, as some like Tony and Sean will continue to stand.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.